The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidland. Fun first hour again here till Thursday for the one, the only, Gil Alexander. And Jesse Welch tweets in and says, this feels like a very Matt Brown-esque rant. Which, by the way, rant. Come on, Jesse. I'm not giving a rant. I'm giving takes, man. These aren't rants. These are takes.
On what?
I guess the Scottie Scheffler thing was a take earlier. Was that a rant? I don't know what that was. I don't know what it was. He calls it a Matt Brown-esque rant.
I'm trying to think. I guess you probably had a couple that could have been classified as that. But yeah, it's probably Scheffler.
He said,
probably what he's talking about.
Who decided the modern era of baseball should start at 1901?
Oh, I don't know. I always say whenever Prohibition, that's where I cut off all records. Anything before Prohibition, I don't want to hear about.
Shouldn't the modern era be whenever we decided that you can't do the steroids anymore?
Yes, I agree.
Like, yeah, that should be the modern era.
The modern era, yeah. Yes.
Like, the modern era.
Because especially if we're going to call it the steroid era, then there's an era that comes after the steroid era.
Which should be the modern era.
Which should be the modern era.
Yeah.
Or just the Ohtani era.
You know what, Major League Baseball? I know you're listening. I know you're watching. We're giving you this for free. The modern era is now post-steroid era. We don't know exactly the date that the steroid era ended. We will figure that out. But whatever that year is, that's now going to be from henceforth, that will be now the modern era of baseball.
Don't worry. I texted you and Isaiah details on the bingo, the $1 million bingo at the South Point, so we don't forget.
Is it a hot ball?
I don't know, man. It's quite a deal, though.
Hot ball.
That's what I'm looking at.
It's a hot ball. Well, I will say this. The steroid era, though, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun baseball.
Yeah, it was fun baseball. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm tuning in to watch people do things that I could never do no matter how many steroids I took. Right?
Correct, yes.
You know, like, I want to see you perform at a high level. And so it was fun watching them just absolutely mash and destroy baseball. It's like, it really was. It was fun. It made baseball more fun for pretty much the entire nation.
Yes, for everybody.
Yeah,
yes.
So it is what it is. All right, Kelly, you have told me that there is something that I need to be prepared for here.
Well, we got tennis and we got golf to talk, so that means it's time to go country clubbing, Matt. That's what we're doing. We're going country clubbing. This is some of Rob Moreno's best work. I'm glad you haven't seen this. Yeah, that's right. Country clubbing.
How much did y'all pay those actors?
Those are talented B-roll
actors.
How much
did y'all pay those actors?
No, the better part is finding that B-roll, okay, of just older couples partying in a club.
Yeah, I mean,
with umbrella drinks.
You know what? We actually run that twice this show, because we can also...
Matt, you can run it as many times as you want. Okay, it's my favorite thing on the show.
No, I'm saying we can. That's how we can also intro Ben Wilson.
Yes,
like that, we can like that can run twice.
Yeah, Ben's in the background actually in that video.
Yeah, I mean, like we can run Ben
as,
like,
Ben's grandparents.
Listen, Ben grew up like he was born at the country club. Like, they made the doctor come to the country club to birth him, and like that's he was born in the country club and lived there basically.
The whole medical team,
yeah, and one of the many country clubs that they are members across the country, for sure. Okay, so over in the French Open, we actually did have some stuff go down here as Boisson stuns Jessica Pegula. She was the number 361 ranked player in women's tennis. She was plus 425 to win today, Kelly, and Pegula goes down in that one. So we did have a big upset today over at Roland Garros.
As always, though, don't freak out. I don't think Jessica's going to have a GoFundMe page going or anything like that to get her to keep her tennis career going. Yeah, I think she's going to be okay.
Everything's actually, she's as good as she is because of her bank account.
You know? It has definitely helped.
Yeah, like, that is no pressure whatsoever, right? Imagine waking up every single day and you play professional sports, and whether you win or lose, it does not matter. You are filthy rich. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all. That's the best play. That's the best way to do it. You just go out there and you're carefree. Tommy Paul, Francis Tiafo do advance into the quarterfinals. A couple of Americans go on there. Alcaraz needs four sets to get by another American, but he does beat Ben Shelton, so he reached the quarters as well. Coco Gauff advanced in straight sets to reach the quarters as well. We do have action going on currently out there behind us as well, Kelly. So this is an ongoing thing right now over in Paris.
Yeah, Djokovic up 6-2, 2-2 over Cam Norrie right now. And then we have Alexander Bublik 2-1 over Jack Draper. That's men's action. And then coming up today, Yannick Sinner minus 2,000 over Andrei Rublev. That starts here in about 3 hours. Actually, it's plenty of time.
And then, starts here in, never mind.
I got used to last week. Yeah, we were like firing early. Nope, 3 hours. You got plenty of time. And then tomorrow, this one jumped out to me. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it, Matt, but Musetti and Tiafo. Musetti minus 450, Tiafo plus 350. That's tomorrow. And then also Tommy Paul and Carlos Alcaraz. Alcaraz, a big favorite. Musetti, I know Gil, I know a bunch of the tennis guys really liked heading into this tournament. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on him or Tiafo, but man, Tiafo's been playing well.
Tiafo's playing well. I mean, if you look at the futures market, given where he sits right now in all of this, I mean, Alcaraz minus 110 to win it all, as you would, you know, as you can imagine.
That's actually come back a little bit. Yeah. Okay. It was like minus 125 on Friday.
Yeah. Alcaraz minus 110 to win it all. Sinner's at 2-1. Djokovic is at 8-1. Zverev is at 15-1, who, by the way, he actually had his opponent retire. So he got not a walkover, just a retirement. He gets a freebie. He's a retirement like the people that are in the video that we showed.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So he got a retirement. He's 15-1. Draper's 16-1. Musetti is 20-1. And then everybody else, includes Paul, Tiafo, et cetera, are all 80-1 or longer.
Is there a buy price on anybody for you in the futures book?
I mean, listen, Alcaraz at minus 110 is
pretty good.
Now that we've gotten, see, that's the other thing. So like, we whittled down, right?
It would be Alcaraz over Sinner for you.
Yes.
As far as who you like to win this.
Yes.
Day. And at price, that is, it was like minus 125 when Gil and I were sitting here on Friday. So you're actually getting a better price today with more of the tournament completed.
Yeah. I mean, this is where, you know, the dynamic pricing comes into play. Yep. I mean, they might have saw, but Shelton put up a fight. You know, so it's one of those things.
He did. I watched a lot of that match. Yeah.
Yeah. Shelton put up a fight. So I think it's one of those deals where people going, oh, not as good as we thought. And they go and bet somebody else and we actually get this thing at 110. But now that we've whittled the field down as far as we have, I mean, minus 110 on Alcaraz, I think, is certainly something that I would definitely be looking at.
Anything on the women's side for you?
Yeah, over on the women's side, I know Gil bets a ton of women's tennis. I don't bet a ton of women's tennis. The unpredictability drives me up the wall, just literally absolutely insane. I just can't do it.
I mean, I think on the matches that he seems to lose, that seems to be what's going on as well.
Yeah. Iga's 210, plus 210. Sabalenka's plus 210. Andreeva is sitting there at 425. Coco is at plus 450. And then everybody else is 14-1 or longer, including Maddie Keys. I think he's playing right now.
Man, that is pretty wild. You got those four girls, though, 450 or shorter. Who's price too short?
look at Boisson, who gets the upset to 80-1. 80-1.
No respect for Lois.
No. Hold on, she's French though. Is it Lois?
It's probably not Lois.
Is it Lois? How would you?
I don't know.
How would we
Mr.
do
Louisiana? Don't ask me.
How would we do a French Lois? Lois Boisson. Lois Boisson.
Or is it Louise? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm glad you just went Lois though. Lois Boisson.
Matt, I'm always here to make it easier for the bettors, right? So for the American bettor, for what name you're looking for when you go to the odds page, Lois. That's who you're looking
for. Lois Boisson. There you go. B-O-I-S-S-O-N. Lois Boisson is 80-1. Did Gil bet Iga to start the tournament? I can only imagine.
No, well, he had bets on her from like months ago. So he has, admittedly, he has a worse price.
They're just like carryover.
Yeah. Numbers. They have a worse price. So I don't think he added on to that at all, but, he has Iga, but yes, a smaller amount than I think he normally would, but at a worse number. So Iga right now, plus 210, Sabalenka plus 210, Andreeva plus 425, Coco plus 450. Who out of that four, Matt, who's too short? Who's too long?
I mean, I don't know if anybody's too long necessarily or too short. Look, Sabalenka would probably be where if you're telling me I could only bet one of those four and you're giving me a free Kelly $100.
Yes,
right?
You're going Sabalenka?
Yeah, I'm probably taking Sabalenka, who's been at least a little bit more consistent than everybody else in that list over the course of a little while. But I mean, again, it's just, I'm not going to say it's a crapshoot. It's not. There's money to be made in women's tennis for sure, and a lot of people do it. It's just not my cup of tea because I have a very tough time getting to when, like we just saw, the 361 ranked woman in the world gets to the quarters because she goes in and beats Pegula, you know?
Right. No, I got you. Andreeva and Coco, though, are feeling very, very short priced to me. This is...
Well, you got to get... But we've...
No, I know.
I just hit the microphone. For those of you not watching, I just smoked the microphone in my hand.
I know the field has gotten smaller. I understand that. But, man, that is still... I mean, we haven't really seen Iga or Sabalenka. Their prices dip too much from the Open.
Yeah, no, it's true. But, I mean, again, as it shrinks, though, you would assume that the players that do at least have a little bit of pedigree, their number is at least going to come down with the size of everything. So again, this is ongoing. We'll keep you updated on how these matches progress throughout the course of the next hour. As we are on here, we'll be moving into golf next segment, kind of recapping not only for a final time of what we saw this past week as well, but look forward to a couple weeks from now. Man, I guess you did, but
Benny's
that was the second to last. That was the second to last signature event,
dude. I know. This was what's funny is these are the things I know. Remember, I know I texted that to you and Wes at the beginning of the week. These are the things that I remember us saying at the beginning of the season of like, hey, like, you know, mark your calendars for one and done's purposes. Like, we're gonna roll through a lot of these signature events early in the season. But man, when it hits you last week, you're like, this is the second to last one. There's still two more majors. How does that make sense schedule wise?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's just to me.
Need to rethink that. Yeah, you know, I don't know if everybody's aware, but you know, when you have NBA and NHL coming to a close here during the summer and football not starting for a couple months, you might want to try to highlight the sport a little bit more in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, because there's going to be a whole bunch of tournaments that are coming up where it's like the top guy in the field is like 35th in the world or something or whatever.
Aaron Rye is your favorite at the John Deere Classic,
which is a very real scenario.
It's much
more real than most people actually know. So we'll take a look ahead to what's coming up in golf this week. We'll take a look 2 weeks down the road into our final to the next major of the season as well. It is a numbers game here on VSiN.
The Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown on the desk for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here with me as we roll through what's going on over in the golf world. A quick bow on the memorial. I gave my what was determined to be a rant by Jesse Wood. I thought it was just a take on Scottie Scheffler a little bit earlier. But
here's the short version. Scottie Scheffler's good at golf.
Yeah, there you go. I'd spent a whole, 3 minutes talking about it, basically saying just that. But he does win the Memorial back-to-back now, $4 million for his efforts. So good for Scottie Scheffler. He's actually good for the caddy.
And another guy who I don't think we really need to worry about their bank accounts much.
Man, let me tell you. Certainly he's worked out some sort of other deal, or maybe not. Scottie Scheffler seems like such an incredible guy that he still just pays 10% every single time. So he's just hucking out $400K with every win.
You're going down the road of like how you tip out properly when you win big contests or jackpots in this town. Like the percentage needs to come down.
Well, no, I'm just wondering if the caddy goes to Scotty and says, "Hey, man, look,
I'll take less. Just don't kick me off the bag.
Like I'm good for 8% or whatever. I'm good for 5%. You win so much money. I'm good for it.
I'm gonna guess that conversation hasn't come up at all.
That's what I'm saying. With Scottie Scheffler, probably not. He just, his guy, you know, he says he probably not only, he hands it to him with a smile every time, you know, just
absolutely,
like, here's your $400K.
Have you ever heard anybody doing that? Making the caddy take less?
Well, I've heard of fill-in caddies agreeing to.
Right.
So like
we had the whole Kuchar incident right down in Mexico.
Yeah. Like I've heard fill-in caddies taking less.
Me too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just something to think about whenever you're like, okay, this guy's winning $20 million a year. You know, like,
God, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that conversation.
You know what
though.
I'm saying? Like, it's
I get it.
Like, the caddy's making $2 million right off the top.
You're a team, Matt. You got to pay him the $2 million.
Plus whatever side stuff he's got going on. Because if you're Scottie Scheffler's caddy, you're making money elsewhere for sure. You got money coming in. He's probably sponsored by Rolex or something.
Oh, yeah. I Net Jets and all that sort of stuff. The Ted Scott, I was blanking.
Yeah, Ted Scott. Yeah.
It's a, imagine being in the room for that conversation though, where you're like, look, I'm winning a lot. You're taking home a lot. Like we might need to dial this back. Oh, that would get ugly quick. You gotta be prepared to lose Ted on the bag forever. I don't think Scottie Scheffler wants to have that happen.
We'll get into the golf here as we move up to Canada real quick. for everybody out there, this is just a PSA. The Masters Lottery is now open. If you want to go in, if you love rejection, go in and sign up, fill out all of that just to get an email in about 3 weeks that says your selection was not picked. But it is out there for anyone that wants to go.
So how many times has that happened to you?
27 straight years now, I
guess. You've done it that many years?
20. I mean,
I did not know that.
I did it since like early college.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
Like, yeah. So I don't know, whatever. 24 years.
You were there, like what, last year?
Yes, I went last year, but it was not because I won the lottery.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was not because I won the lottery. I just had to buy third-party tickets, so, yeah.
Well, good luck.
Which, by the way, they frown upon. That is, that's the other thing. They frown upon that.
Like, so, like, maybe you shouldn't say it on a national radio
show? You go in and you get briefed by the people that are giving you these tickets as to where you got them, who you got them from. You learn, like, the family's backstory.
Yep.
And all of that and everything, because like it can only be gifted. It cannot be sold. Right. And so you can't buy these things technically.
Family's backstory.
Oh yeah.
That is,
you got it from this person.
Creepy,
yeah. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. They've had it in the family for whatever. They do this, that, whatever. And you got it because you're the cousin's brother-in-law or whatever. You're the cousin's husband or something.
Man.
Yeah.
Wonder if the Wilson family works.
It's a covering your rear end thing, yeah. You know, as well with all of that. Okay, guys, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast, your first look into the day's betting line, sharp action, and market moves. Just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee is gone. Hosted by VSiN team of trusted betting experts, Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcast, or get it on the VSiN Watch app as well. By the way, that VSiN Watch app, free to download at any of the stores out there that you listen. Let's peel the curtain back again. I'm shaming you if you still have an Android phone. Just go and get an iPhone. Everybody doesn't like you. Everyone hates you. They talk about you behind your back whenever your green message shows up in the thing.
If you're like me, they don't talk to you about it behind your back. They say to your face. It's annoying as hell. Get an iPhone. Can't have these group messages.
Did you ever go Android ever? Or
no.
you've just been iPhone since day one?
Since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've ventured.
Since what? I want to say like 06, 07, something like that.
I ventured over one time for like 3 months because it was the, we'll give you this awesome new phone absolutely free if you do, you know, whatever and all that. And I was like, okay, how much different can, the answer's a lot different. That's how different it can be. I felt like I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know how to answer the calls. I didn't know how to do anything. So it was just not fun.
I went from Razor to iPhone. So whatever year that was.
Ooh.
Those Razors were badass though back in the day, man. Are you kidding me?
You were the cool kid.
I was styling. Yeah, yeah. You were the cool kid. Razor.
You were the cool kid. You were the cool kid. And people that had Razors were cool. I didn't have a Razor.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I'd have had a Razor. All right, so we're gonna head to Canada for this. TPC Toronto, RBC Canadian Open. It's about 7,400 yards, par 70 in this one here. Kelly, the field is very likely to, I'm sure we're going to get some withdrawals today as well. We kind of tend to see this with all of this. As we sit right now, Rory McIlroy is going to play. Ludwig is going to play. But then the drop-off is pretty big from there. Down to Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Sam Burns, Bob McIntyre. And then once you get past Bob McIntyre at 30-1, Kelly, the next guy, Harry Hall. So that's like where we get it. It is like a couple of big names, a couple of mid names, and then it falls off a cliff pretty quickly.
Yes, it does. I'm just scanning through this right now. Yeah, I guess the names that you'd most want to watch out for. I mean, Ludwig, I'd imagine Connors is going to play, but like Ludwig, Shane Lowry, maybe the most likely to withdraw if you were going to have that. Rory's going to play. We know that. He skipped last week.
Mm-hmm. Rory's going to give it a go.
Yeah, he's played here the past couple years now, so that should be expected. Man, I don't know where you're at. I think odds at the top, I'm not really surprised by that plus 450. I think a few weeks ago I would have said this is going to be short, Rory a little shorter in this event with the rest of the names that are in here. But I think plus 450, man, I think there's some concerns and some things Rory's got to work on before we head into the US Open.
Rory is not Scotty. Scotty goes out and Scotty is just automatic, right? Like his swing is the same every single time. Everything works the same every single time. everything is just programmed. It's not the same way with Rory. I mean, like we saw a couple of years ago, we didn't bet him because the wedges weren't working. Then we got to a point where he was spraying off the tee a little bit too much for our liking. There's always seems to be at least something at work a little bit with Rory where you don't get that from a Scotty standpoint. That being said, I mean, plus 110 on top five, it includes ties as well. So yeah. I mean, it's like it includes ties. That's at least somewhat tempting. I mean, unless he just completely falls off here in a course that is gettable. I mean, it's a driver heavy course, you know, and like that's where he exceeds.
I think I will be right back to a. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. The other one that's jumping out to me right now. Look, I played it last week. It finally lost, but it cashed like in six of the last seven tournaments beforehand. Corey Connors, top 20, minus 110, staring me in the face.
Yeah.
Canadian guy, too. He's going to want to show up for his home open, play well. I know you and I have been betting him pretty regularly here recently. I don't know if I'm there for the outright win yet with Corey Connors, but man, I think top 20. I'll keep it playing him in that market at minus 110. It's actually probably one of those, Matt, that I'll probably bet earlier in the week because I think that's only going to get bet on and move to a shorter number. So that might actually be one that I plug in right after the show here.
I think for me in this one, in a tournament in which, again, it's a driver heavy course, which really is what separates Rory from the rest of the field. I think I'm going to be looking at maybe firing on some of these longer shot guys and then just kind of walking away from this tournament and just hoping that Rory finishes third or something as opposed to winning it, because it's just, you know, he should win. I mean, like you look at some of these dudes who Max Homa, we have seen at least shades of the old Max Homa. Now he struggled mightily a couple different rounds, played a good round as well this past week. He's out like at 60-1.
He's getting there number wise.
It's like
that one jumped out to me.
So I'm saying, like, do you try to like catch him on the way up before things get crazy with him? I mean, we've kind of seen a little bit of Wyndham Clark as well, where it's like he'll throw one good round in with two bad rounds. Can he figure it out? Has he got something going on? I mean, maybe I'm just throwing it on some of these like 50-60-1 dudes and then just moving on. I mean, Sam Burns is out to 30-1 in this week field. Burns went 75-65-74 like at on the first 3 days of the Memorial this past week. So he literally shot 65 on Friday only to come back and shoot 74 again on Saturday. So I mean, he's as crazy as they come,
man. So Thigala's all the way down to 80-1 too now. Wow. So this is what we're talking about, going back to your Scottie Scheffler ran a little bit. But we've seen a lot of the mid-range guys you can't really trust, and some guys that were in the mid-range, like the Homas and the Thigalas and stuff, have just fallen off the face of the planet. You can't back them with money right now.
Unbelievable. The rant. Called it a rant yet again, Kelly. I expect better from you. When we come back from the West Wing of whatever mansion that he is at across this country of ours, we're going to have Ben Wilson in with us.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Guys, if you want to play Circa Survivor or Circa Million for free this season, Winner Circle Proxy might have your ticket there. They are giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus their full proxy service. You can go in or out at winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Again, that is winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. In here, can't wait to see where he's at. What continent do you think that he's on? What continent do you think?
North America.
You think he's in North America?
Yeah.
I don't know. He might be at one of their islands that they have. We'll see. But he, joining us, our very own Ben Wilson from who knows where. What wing of what estate are you joining us from right now, Ben? I mean, I know you've got your Torrey Pines hat on right now. You're alluding to the fact that maybe you're in San Diego, but maybe you're at the villa in the Bahamas. Maybe you're at y'all's place over in Monaco. I don't know what's going on. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm going to let everybody down here, Matt. Well, I was at Circuit till about 11 p.m. Pacific last night since I was hosting. And so as a result, I am actually here in Vegas, as alluded to my Arena football. I pointed the wrong way. Arena football towel behind me.
Oh, couldn't
on the wall, so, yeah.
Couldn't get in the car and roll down here, huh?
Couldn't just hang out for nine more hours.
I really didn't know this. I got lots of things.
There's a lot of things on the docket today. I got to be in town for longer. I feel bad, but yes, it was a short jaunt here. And I'm heading back home right after this.
Kelly Bidlin.
Oh, he's hanging around for us though. Okay, that's what he's doing.
I guess we can feel a little special. Yeah,
he could be in the car. Okay, that's true. That could be worse.
We'll feel a little bit special from that as well. All right, Ben, let's start out.
Yeah.
On the tennis side of things, what was your position heading into this tournament, and has it changed as we've kind of progressed?
Yeah, so look, women's side, I felt like it's a great position for Aryna Sabalenka to be in. Someone who's been in, we talked about this last week on the show, she's clearly been in the better form of a Iga Swiatek, and Iga, you know, got this horrible draw, yet she's been able to make it work. So I haven't really changed my position from a macro perspective. Sabalenka, Swiatek, they're still pretty much your co-favorites right now. And you have Sabalenka on the top half, a little more simpler path to me to get to the championship round. Where it's been interesting here is Iga has this amazing comeback yesterday against Rybakina where she looks totally down and out, gets blown out in the first set. And you're thinking, okay, this is what we've watched in the run-up. And she somehow figures out a way. And I think a lot of people now are starting to believe this. And in a lot of ways, it looks like some of the Nadal years when he came into the French, banged up, not playing great tennis. And then it just didn't matter because he was just unbelievably better than anybody else handling that particular surface. So I'm not fully in the camp of, I think now Swiatek has just gotten rid of all the previous demons and she's just going to roll here and Sabalenka won't be able to touch her. I don't think that's necessarily fair to say because even within Swiatek's quarter, she has at least one, if not two more ridiculously tough matches still to come. But we're definitely getting to that point where it seems pretty 50-50. And I think it's fair now that the odds have come and valued those two players basically the same. Having said that, I still think now that the market is getting very back to a pro Swiatek position, look, the match against Svitolina is going to be an absolute war. I thought that was a pretty generous price. Svitolina is in year 3-1 here. So taking the games handicap for me is the way to go, +4.5. And that could be a super tight, 4-4 Swiatek straight set win, and you still cash your ticket. So that's how I'm specifically going to play the quarter round here for Swiatek. But still so many good players left, and that's what makes that bottom half of the draw so tough.
Ben, Matt kind of dodged this question earlier, so I'm going to ask you, if it's not Iga or Sabalenka, who else are we talking about getting into the final?
Yeah, I really like both Mira Andreeva and Coco Gauff.
You got to pick one.
I'm very aware. I have to pick one. I'm just setting you up here. So Gauff and Andreeva, they both win today. I personally, like Gauff's return numbers have been absolutely amazing. And so I was a little skeptical. She was a very popular not dark horse player, but kind of like second tier bet as the fourth favorite. And she's trading now in that, just sub 5-1 range. I would say it's her just because the way she covers the court and is able to anticipate so many of these angles that on Roland Garros, you obviously have an advantage, but you also have to, take advantage of that opportunity with the slower surface. Gauff's been incredible. Best returner now on tour over the last 52 weeks on clay. The way she looked today against Alexandrova, who was a great returner herself, bagels her in the first set and really rolled in that match. I would say it's Coco right now.
What about the men's side? We're looking at a number actually kind of coming down a little bit on Alcaraz to win it all, -110 right now. Sinner sitting 2-1. Djokovic is at 8-1. Zverev at 15-1. Draper at 16-1. Musetti at 20, everybody else 80 or longer. Is there anything, let's just say you had absolutely nothing in the account, I'm going to come and I'm going to give you 100 free mat bucks and you're able to come in and place a wager. What do you like?
Yeah, it's got to be, it's for 100% Sinner adding, to your portfolio right now if you had nothing. Just because I think the question was, what would his form look like coming off of a suspension stretch? He got pretty well comprehensively beaten down at his home tournament by Alcaraz in Rome leading into this event. But the way Sinner's looked so far, I mean, +190, that kind of implies if it is an Alcaraz Sinner, death march here, and that's what we end up getting is the de facto final, you'd be looking at Alcaraz price, probably in the -150, -160 range, and you're getting Sinner probably in a +130, +40 spot, which based on, no matter what you want to say about how Alcaraz has looked in the past couple of years at Roland Garros, that should be a price that is a little bit closer to 50-50 than the current implied futures odds would suggest. So simply based on value, I would add some Sinner. It's such a tough stretch too. As good as Djokovic has looked, the fact that he's, you know, plays today, then they have to turn around tomorrow. You get the immediate two match window in 2 days before the 3 day break until Friday. That's a really tough ask for Djokovic. And even if he gets through to that semi, I don't see Sinner really having tons of problems, even in the 5-set format that Djokovic has certainly relied on.
Benny, college baseball. Now we saw a lot of the big teams go down over the weekend. I know you're looking at one bet that you have today. Walk us through that, and then who do you think is the team to beat that's left now?
Well, I really wish my play was last night, and that it was Arkansas Little Rock, just a strict fade of Matt Brown.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was waiting. I was waiting on that, dude. That was a tough watch. Did you watch that thing? That was a tough.
Yeah.
11 walks.
Oh, boy.
LSU walked 11 guys.
Oh boy.
It was a hard watch. It was a tough watch. It was a tough watch.
There are some and I've called, call a lot of college baseball. Every once in a while, you get a game where there's like 9 combined errors, 20 walks, and it is it's a tough call. you're trying to like give yourself a pep talk. I'm like, okay, only like 2 more hours. I can get through this. This is not the worst thing in the world. I can call this baseball game. But yeah, easier said than done. LSU should be fine tonight. What an amazing story, though. The Trojans of Little Rock have been. I'll go to the other number 4 seed guys in Murray State, who was 30-1 to win this regional. They upset Ole Miss in the very first game, get off to a 2-0 start. So the good thing for Murray State, and they're big dogs today, once again, because Ole Miss slaughtered them last night. But that game got out of hand so quick that Murray State, who actually has, for a 4 seed, pretty good bullpen depth. They had the best defense of any of the 4 teams in that Oxford regional. So I already thought that the Racers were, at least a team that could hang in some of these games. I didn't think they'd start 2-0 and be in the driver's seat in the regional. But because the game got so out of hand last night, they kind of just punted. They threw in just a lot of randos out of the pen. They took their lumps. They immediately got crushed. That game was over quick. But Murray State at least has the ability now to regroup a little bit and kind of get everything back in order. So I took them run line. You're getting 3.5 runs. I guess the danger of it is these have been such high-scoring games in the regional that, could this game end up like 12-8 or something? And, and it's a close game, you feel like, throughout, but Ole Miss just puts up 1 or 2 more crooked numbers. Yes. I think it just speaks to the fact, though, that when you lose your first game in a regional, it is so hard to run that table, even if you're the number 1 seed. Only 7% of teams all time who have lost their first games in a regional then come back and advance to supers. And we actually have a few teams tonight trying to do that. A couple of them are number 1 seeds. But I just look at Ole Miss. They go deep. They go to the championship game of the SEC tournament. Pitching has really been taxed. They have a lot of good bullpen arms, Ole Miss, and they're 18-1 right now to win it all. Wouldn't be a bad futures play if they get through tonight. But you're thinking about all the different arms who have been stretched, taxed with no margin for error. I see this being a much tighter game tonight in Oxford. I think Ole Miss probably squeaks away with like a 1 or 2 run win.
All right, Ben, we know you got to get to the jet so you can get back over to the villa in San Diego. So we appreciate your time today, buddy. And all that LSU trash talk right there. No. What's the handicap these days, real quick?
They're going to get – they'll be fine tonight. I actually would probably empower them. And if they win, they'll probably go back to number 1 over Arkansas. I think they are the best team. Like Arkansas, I saw earlier in the year, great pitching. Offense has been hit or miss, especially in these big games. So keep in mind, Arkansas, Tennessee going to be your super, which that is just an unreal super to see who will go to Omaha.
He is Ben Wilson. You can find him right here on the network, of course, calling all kinds of stuff across all of the networks out there. Ben, do appreciate the time and good luck on all your bets. When we come back, guys, we're going to put a bow on this Monday edition of A Numbers Game. See if we can't get some bets from Kelly Bidlin in the account as well.
Let's go. That was your fault. Bad question.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on A Numbers Game. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me here. Roberto Moreno from Behind the Glass tweets at us and wants to know if we're looking forward to the enhanced games. which, by the way, that is the kind of like pseudo Olympics in which they will allow you to take performance enhancing drugs to see what the human body is capable of.
I couldn't remember the name. I was thinking of it as we were discussing baseball, but the I don't really understand how that's supposed to work. I don't know about you. I didn't read up that much on it. Like, are you really you really planning on getting that many people out there that are apparently all of them have to be pro drugs, right? Like, you're not joining that knowing that everybody else is on steroids and you're not.
Like, walking around with shirts that say I take drugs and pro drugs and like waving flags that say like I don't think that's what it's all about.
I'm saying if you are some sprinter who's not on
like
roids,
pro drugs, I think they're just kind of like, hey, look, if you take some of this stuff in the right manner and you don't abuse it, it's not like.
Sure, but also, you know, if I'm not on anything, I'm not showing up to compete against people that are.
Yeah, well, this will be a good litmus test, right? Because do they actually run faster? Do they actually jump higher? Do they actually... But then here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I only care about the results.
If they don't, the argument then will just be, well, they're not the elite athletes. They're not the most elite athletes as it is anyway. Now, if you gave these super elite athletes all of the good stuff, then they actually would run faster or jump higher or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No, you're right. That would be, those are the arguments.
That's going to be the argument. Like, so now, no matter what these
people
put up.
Can the one tier down athletes or more match the world-class athletes? It's really more of that, right? Are you going to see similar numbers?
I mean, listen, I've taken just massive amounts of steroids to try to help my golf game here, Kelly, you know, and it's not happening for me at all.
I got a couple more tweets. Chris Heath tweeted in, iPhone was invented in 2009. I was off by a couple of years. Does that sound right to you? I would have guessed 06, 07, something like that. Okay. All right. And then we have, I got a pronunciation on Lois. Lois Boisson. That's the correct pronunciation.
And I got a text.
Lois.
From a friend of the program, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
What up, Todd?
Who said, here's a green message for you. I hate the iPhone and I hate being locked into their technology. So he is an Android user, so I guess that I was actually talking trash about our buddy.
I like his sentence to have locked into their technology, because the last time I went and got a new phone, I stopped the Apple Store salesman dead in his tracks. I was like, I don't need the pitch. Like, I've been doing this for 15 years. Just load me up with a new phone already, man. Like, you don't got to sell me on anything. I sold my soul to you guys 15 years ago.
Like, listen.
Just get me in and out of here.
You're like, I have no interest in another phone. I know exactly what I want.
Yeah.
You don't even need to tell me what this new phone does. I won't use half the stuff anyway.
I just need battery life. Better battery life.
The whole commercial like for this new phone was based around that they have the AI thing. You know, like the phone was like glowing and all that. I've never once used it.
I accidentally hit it all the time and I'm like, oh, wait, I better stop this before it goes and like pays for something.
Before
or whatever.
It learns something about me. Oh, yeah. God, what am I going to say that's going to get me fired? You know,
No, I'm more worried about having like all of our credit cards are attached now to Apple Pay and just what, like you could be walking around with that thing in your pocket and be like, I want to buy this. And then before you know it, show it up at your doorstep.
What I'm terrified is the AI bots are learning all about all of us. And then whenever they actually become smarter than us and then know how to use it against us. So we're going to start getting blackmailed by AI. Like, we're going to be talking to ChatGPT and telling them all of our like deepest, darkest secrets and things like that. And then as it starts to think for itself, then it's going to be like, oh, I can use that against this guy. And then he's going to, the AI technology is going to start blackmailing us.
I'm glad we haven't thought about this too far down the road. All right. Yeah. That's a scary thought. Yeah. No, I don't want to get involved with that.
But it's the truth. That's what's going to happen here. So we just got to live every day like it's your last, because, you know, it's going to be bad whenever the AI takes over for everything. Let's get to our G-Bank. Best bets. Just one for me here in this one. I'm taking the over 4.5 strikeouts for Logan Webb. Logan Webb has changed things up this year, has become a much higher strikeout pitcher. If you look over the course of his career, we're talking about a guy, 21% K rate, 18.7% K rate, 20.7, 22.8. We're looking at all of that. And then you get to this year, 27.9. Logan Webb has figured out how to miss bats a whole lot more. That swinging strike rate up to 11.7% off of the 8.5% last year. And this has not come at the expense of walking more batters. He's actually on his career level, about 5.6%. So still low walk rate for him as well. Great control, just missing more bats and striking more guys out. So Logan Webb over on the 4.5 strikeouts today for me.
All right, cool. I like it. Nothing for me today. I have made two NBA Finals plays so far. Reminder, I do have some futures tickets on the Thunder to win the finals that I'll be rolling in with. But regardless, Matt, we talked about it earlier. I did play Thunder to win in five on the series correct score market, 4-1, +215. We were looking at those DraftKings prices earlier. What was that, +250? +260 on that? That's a very, very big difference. Shop around. That was the best that it was available to me here in town. So play +215. I think if I was going into this cold, it would probably be play Thunder in five and then maybe sprinkle a little on Thunder in six. I think I'm in the camp. I think it's a chance we go to six. Better chance of going to six than a sweep by the Thunder. But I do like the Thunder in five. And then the other bet that I made, Lu Dort, to lead the series in 3-pointers made at 6-1. I think this is an interesting bet, Matt. You've got Haliburton, who is the favorite in this market, but we've seen the quality of perimeter defenders that the Thunder have and are going to be able to continuously throw at Haliburton. I think you could make the argument, and this would be my bigger concern for betting against him, is that, man, if this offense does bog down, slow down at all, how often do we just see end of shot clock Haliburton launching from deep? Yeah, it might turn into that. I do expect this Thunder defense to be that good. But with the weapons that the offense has on the Oklahoma City side, man, the attention is going to have to be drawn elsewhere from the not as good defense on Indiana side. I think Lu Dort's going to be looking at a lot of open 3-point attempts during the course of this series. So it's 6-1. I was hoping to get a little bit more because I do think Haliburton's a rightful favorite in this market. 6-1 though was a buy on for me. I think anything longer than that definitely would be something I'm interested in. But a couple series bets for you so far.
Mr. The Ben Wilson joined us just a second ago. He is going to play Svitolina +4.5 games versus Iga Swiatek. So you can go and get that about -105 is where he saw that. And over on the college baseball side of things, he's going to take the 3.5 runs with Murray State against Ole Miss. So those are the two bets in his account. Kelly, I did go find that bet that we were talking about. This is just at DraftKings. Always shop around. I'm sure it's available at other books, and I don't know if it has a better price or not, but to kind of piggyback off of the thing that you were looking at, Oklahoma City to win game one, Oklahoma City to win series, -275 at DraftKings. It is under the series markets tab, and then there's a little sub tab in there that says game X / series double. So that's where you can go and find that bet.
That's the best price I've heard on that so far. That would be, if I was sitting here with not a single play on the NBA Finals, that would be the number one play I would make.
We're going to introduce the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VEASAN here. Guys, all you got to do, open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards for your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Then VEASAN completes the trifecta with a VEASAN Pro subscription. So there's your $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VEASAN. Head over to VEASAN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBANK. It is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this very offer. It's not going to apply to request to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Again, VEASAN.com/GBank. So that one, Kelly, is available. Pacers to win game one, but Oklahoma City to win the series. So Pacers to steal game one, but OKC to win the series +475. Not as sexy.
These are usually the reason I even look at that market. If you think there's a chance that the dog steals game one and then you can go play a favorite. But no, I think this is where you go favorite in this market.
Then Pacers to win game one, Pacers to win the series, 11-1.
Man, you should be. No. Okay. I was going to say, I feel like you should be getting better odds than that.
And then Thunder to win game one, but then the Pacers to win the series, which is never happening.
What are the odds on that?
Just 12-1.
That's insane.
That one's no good. That's not happening.
That's not happening. That is not happening.
The Thunder not winning game one, and then the Pacers come back and win.
That's not happening. I can't get over. So we do have some college baseball today. These are all regional closeout games. I can't get over. I just pulled up your LSU game. I can't get over this stuff.
-1850.
They are. No, how about over at FanDuel right now, -2500 on the money line. Yeah, that is the money line.
Well, then shop around for that one. Yeah, for sure.
Arkansas Little Rock 9-1 on the comeback there. You could take 4.5 runs with Little Rock at +260.
the emotional hedge for anybody out there in Baton Rouge, right? Just go in. If you happen to lose, at least you can make some money along the way. Is that kind of what we're going
to
go with?
I mean, I think for you and your buddies, what I would try to do is if you could find the alt run line, take Little Rock plus 1.5. So then you one run game, you don't got to deal with it all. Take that out. Take that out of the picture and you still get a nice return.
Stick around on the network for the next 4 hours. Next 2 hours, you've got Money Moves, then followed by Prop Points, and then Make It Rain. Don't go anywhere. Good luck on all your bets today.